is what we're doing in this church this year. We're asking people to join us and grow. And we are saying that we are grow. And some people are saying, well, Jimmy, we will grow. No, we are grow. It's who we are. We will grow because we are grow. It's who we are. We're grow. We're growth. It's going to happen. We have to make that statement. It's like, I will be a blade. I am a blade. I am a blade. Monday, I'm praying a lot for Monday night. I am a blade, but I'm a Sheffield man. I am, and we are growth. That's the way we've got to look at this. And we started this series in January. We were all the way through to the summer, and then we're going to continue this into the autumn. But we began by going back to the words of Jesus when he spoke to a crowd on a hillside called the Sermon on the Mount. We're not doing all of it, but we're doing some of it. And this is what we're looking at. How to be happy, because Jesus started with the happies, the beatitudes, the beautiful attitudes. And a lot of people just would love, want to be happy. When you talk to people, what do you want? I just want to be happy. I want my kids to be happy. Just want to be happy. And we've looked at different ways in which Jesus said to this crowd 2,000 years ago. And this morning, we're going to look at this. Be happy. Live God's way. It's as simple as that. Live God's way. How can we be happy, live life God's way? Now, I've been thinking a lot about this, about being this thing about being happy. And I've been talking to the team of late. I've been going back to, the Lord took me back to the Christmas story. And what is the word that the angel said to the shepherds? He said, "Fear not, I bring you good news, glad tidings, whatever, of great joy to you and all people, all men, anthropos, all people." So, fear not to the shepherds. I bring you good news of great joy to you and to all people. And I've been thinking a lot about that as I turn the telly on and where's the good news? It's all bad news. So I've been thinking about this. Here's one I drew earlier. There you go. Can we get this on the camera? I think we can. There we go. A bit more kind of blow up if we can. So, that's the UK. And that's Sheffield. There we are, the Roxy, as was, Crucible. That's the big block of flats. Blades. I thought and prayed. I took that to the Lord, whether he wanted me to put owls. And he said, "Blades is what you need to put on there." And we are Sheffield. That's who we are. We live in this city. It's the fourth or fifth. I think Leeds is just before us now. I hate Leeds. Just before us now. But we are a large city in this amazing nation. And this is an amazing nation. Oh, I meant to put this on as well. I think it's about there. Does anybody know the name of that place, Johnny? Kilkeel. Johnny Cassidy lives, came from there, hey? Okay, let's move on from that one. If you want to know how to fish, ask Johnny. He's been on the trawlers before he went into dealing with people's backs and bodies and such. So Northern Ireland, that's part of the UK. So I've been thinking about the UK. And where's the glad night? Where's the glad tidings? Where's the... where's the good news of great joy for all people? Why is it that we fear? We do fear. We're fearful of all kinds of stuff. I'd like you to turn to the person next to you, and I would like you to think of one really good thing about our nation, about our city, and one thing you think is a massive challenge at the moment, okay? Now, if you can't think of anything else, there's the B word. But you may want to think of something else. People are going, I can see somebody going, B word, what's that one there? Starts with B, ends with T. Oh, no, that sounds a bit like B-U-L. No, no, let's not do that one. It's Brexit. Okay, so it may be that one. But one good thing, work with me, crowd. You're a little bit half asleep here. One good thing and one challenging thing about our nation at the moment. Okay, turn to the person next to you. Anybody mentioned Brexit about the challenge? Anybody? Put a hand up if it was Brexit you were thinking about. Okay. Put your hands up if it was Brexit that was one of the good things that's happening in our nation at the moment. No one. Anybody talk about anything at all? Shout a few things out to me.
City of Sanctuary.
City of Sanctuary. That's Sheffield. That's good. Any more?
Good to have students.
Good to have students. Absolutely.
The new Odeon Lux Cinema.
That's the worship leader who's fantastically deep leading worship, but very shallow for the rest of... It's amazing. Who's been in the new Odeon? There you go. Who likes the new Odeon? Ray, there we go. Who's a Cineworld person? Who's the light? Who likes... Yeah, there you go. Now ensues an argument about which cinema is the best one to go to. There we go. Now, I think, seriously, there are many, many good things about our nation and about our city. But actually, there's some incredible challenges. Brexit is one. One of the issues with Brexit, this is not a political statement I'm making here, but a practical one. The previous Prime Minister made a decision and we had this vote. What's happened since is this, and I'm not making a one way or the other, but it's the practical thing. If you've got that amount of capacity in your brain to think things through, and that amount is taken up with one topic, you've only got that amount to sort the rest out. And that's what's happened with our politicians, many of them good people trying to do their best. Most of the space in people's heads and capacity to do stuff is taken up by this one thing, which is going to change our nation for generations to come. That's all the other stuff, like education, like health service, like transport, like policing, like all kinds of stuff. There's only so much space. And so people make mistakes, and errors are made because they're being done in haste. Because all the time's taken up by this. And I think one of the repercussions of that, not just that, certainly, it's not just what we're doing at the moment, the last few years with Brexit, but it's added to it. I think there is a massive challenge in our nation at the moment and with our city to do with kids, to do with young people. We need to really wake up. Children are getting stabbed on a regular basis now. One in Manchester yesterday, one in 17-year-old in London on Friday. It just seems a regular thing now. Now, a lot of smart people are trying to work out why this is happening. I read a report on Thursday from the Children's Commissioner, which really stirred me up. I've been thinking about good news of great joy. I'm thinking, where's the good news? Fear not, good news of great joy. I know what I could see at the moment, lots of people, is fear and bad news. Children's Commissioner was saying they did a big report that 27,000 kids from the age of 10 to 17 are in gangs, call themselves being gang members. Over 34,000 of these young people, different from the 27,000, have said that they have been affected by violence because of gangs on the streets or in schools. These are massive statistics. And at the same time, any social workers here? Put your hand up if you are. One. Speaks for itself. If I had asked that question when I started here 18 years ago, there'd be more than one hand went up. We've cut back on so many things. And in our schools, anybody in education here? Put your hand up. Yeah, lots of teachers and people in education. You don't need to tell me how tough it is there. And we could go on, you know, the police service, the health service. I think there is a national crisis with young people at the moment. And actually, this is the time when the church needs to be strong. Because if not, the challenge is, if you've got 1, 2, 3-year-old children or grandchildren, there'll be fear creeping in. What's going to be there for them when they get to 10, 11, 12, 15? the children's commissioner, I'm giving you this is challenging news. Yeah, I want to stir us up. I was stirred up massively. We live in a dream world sometimes because the children's commissioner was saying all these resources are being cut, but actually the same thing trend is happening now as what happened with the whole sexual grooming stuff 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. And stuff was put in place too late then. And what she's saying is, articulated it very well, we need to do something now about this gang stuff because it's going the same way. You know, in Sheffield at the end of last week, 9 men, evil men, were sent to jail for a long time for grooming young women, girls, children, for sexual exploitation. It's happening everywhere. Now, I'm saying this, you go, well, I don't know what to do about it. Well, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do about it. We're going to do something about it. We're going to do something about it. And as I prayed about this, I really sensed the Lord saying, go back to me, Mick. And so that's what we're going to do. If we look, if we want to see what's going to happen next, then we need to see and look at what Jesus actually said about these kind of things and about how we operate. Now, Sermon on the Mount. Here's Jesus. He's talking to the people. And they're all listening to him. They're listening on every word that he speaks. They don't know how many were there, but there were thousands there. It was in a natural amphitheater. Many people have been to that area, and it's a natural amphitheater. So Jesus speaking to the crowds. And he says these things to them. And the passage we're going to read now, it's a long one, but we're going to do it together. I'm just going to say a few words about it and give us a challenge at the end, but more an invitation at the end. As we begin Lent next week, this is an invitation to all of us, me included. But Jesus says something quite profound in the verses we're going to read this morning. So could you put that on the screen, Ruth? Over the past weeks, we've looked at different things from the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is talking to all these people like I'm talking to you now. And he starts off by saying this. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. So every good Jew in those days, 2,000 years ago, and practicing Jews today, there were 3 foundational acts of righteousness that they were called to do. They knew this when he said this. These were 3 things they were called to do every single day. Well, 2 of them every day, 1 of them to be aware of every day. And that's what we're going to... These are acts of goodness. These were things that, because God was there in their lives, God called them to do this. And this is what... So this, you lot here, from the middle of the aisle there, in the balcony, over here, that's number 1. This guy's here. And that bit in the balcony, number 2 and number 3. So these are 3 acts of righteousness. And you're going to speak them out so everybody else can hear. So you're not going to do, you're only going to speak on number 2. You are number 3. You are number 2. You are number 1. You are number 1. You got it? So Jesus says, you ready? And this is me. I'm doing Jesus. And then you're going to be Jesus. Just, you're going to do the words. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Then he says this. So, louder. Brilliant. And on the streets, keep the rhythm. Do to be honored by others. Truly I tell you. Balcony as well. Well, when you give, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. That's your one bit. You guys have got 2 slides, so keep the rhythm, nice and loud. God's not deaf, but I am. and you've got one slide, okay? So first of all, it talks about when you give money. Then he carried on by saying this lot. And when you
pray,
that's it. Again, this then. Give money, pray, final act of righteousness. Three great acts of goodness that the people of God were called to do. The first two on a daily basis, to give money to the poor, to give money for the work of God. Secondly, was to pray every single day. And then thirdly, to fast, which I'll come to. So this is what Jesus is saying. He says this. He says, give. He says, pray. He says, fast. That's the great word he says to the people gathered there, the beginnings of the new kingdom. So he doesn't get rid of what is part of their history. Giving alms to the poor was what was a necessary thing for a devout Jew and a follower of God to do. Praying was something they were called to do. And they used to go to the synagogues and to the temple. They were called to pray and fast. There was only one fast day in the Jewish tradition. It was the Day of Atonement. Once a year they were to fast. And the word fast means to stop eating food. That's what the actual word means in the original. And they were to stop eating food to remember the Day of Atonement, the day when they were rescued by God. Now, what had happened was, these were the right things to do, but over the years, what had happened was this, that the giving of money had become corrupted by the church leaders and political leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. That praying became a ritual and a duty and not something from the heart. And when people would give, so for example, what would happen with the giving is fresh water was in very short supply. And so rich people would go and get the water carrier, had a big skin of water on his back. They'd go into the middle of the marketplace and he'd shout out, free fresh water, free fresh water, and people would flock. And when they drank the water, the person who'd given the money for this would stand at the side and would expect the people who drunk the water to say, thank you, thank you. May your sins be forgiven because of your generosity. It was corrupted. They wanted the acclamation and affirmation of the people. Praying. Praying had become something, again, which was, it had lost the heart of what Moses and Abraham had called them to do. And fasting, what that should be done in secret. All these things should be done in secret, Jesus says, because that's how it originally was. But what happened was, people would go on the street corners, take off their normal clothes and put a sack over them and pour ashes all over their heads, sackcloth and ashes. And they'd make these faces going, I'm fasting, I'm going without food, how holy am I? And people, ordinary people walk past and go, what a holy person, I could never be like that. And so all this thing had become corrupted. And Jesus said, no. You need to do this the way God's called you to do it if you're going to live the life of God. So what does that mean for us today? I just want to put this, this is a kind of flow chart, isn't it? What does it mean for us? It means this. Money, I'll do this in a different color so we don't get confused. This is now. What about us now? It's got something to do with money. It's got something to do with praying. And it's got something to do with appetites. That's for us now. In other words, the call to live the God life, if we want to connect with God, we need to give money. Now, this is what Jesus said to the people then. It's what he says to us now. And I hear people saying, yeah, but, you know, my heart is right, and he wants my heart. And of course he does, but he wants our money. I mean, let's get down to brass tacks. The church cannot operate without money. Money is the muscle of mission. And actually, I think the reason the church is not strong in this nation is because we have become poverty-stricken. The ones that are strong are the ones who sacrificially give in these three areas. This is an amazing church, but only 62% of the people in this church who call themselves part of this church give in a regular way to this church. So I want to say to you, if you're not one of those people, take one of these forms away and fill it in and hand it back. There are 320-odd, 30-odd adults who say they're part of our communities and don't give any money in a regular way. And so the challenge, if you want to live the God life, live God's way, the first thing is, this is a challenge that we need to address this Lent particularly. And so if 100 of those 300 people, some of you may be here now, find this uncomfortable. I love you, but I'm going to tell you, if only 100 of the 300 gave £2.50 a week, that's a cappuccino. It's a bun, a pastry. I don't know, whatever, a week. If 100 gave £2.50 a week, another £12,000 would come in. So we could raise up youth workers to go on the streets. More youth workers in Crooks and around this area, paid on the streets as well as with volunteers. We need paid people to hang out with all these kids hanging around on the bowl hills. There's nobody there with them. And when the people of God are not with them, other people come in, dealing stuff, drawing them into gangs. It needs to stop now. If you get a bottle of wine on a Friday because it's the weekend, God bless you, it's great. It's a great thing to do. Get one every other week. And that £5 you save, that's £10 a month. It's the same again as £2.50 a week for a donut or whatever, a coffee. Fill it in and hand it in. And you know the best way to deal with money when you give it like that? Give it and forget it. Give it and forget it. It's gone. And it's been put to use that Jesus, the use Jesus wants. Plenty of these on reception. If not, there will be by the time I finish this sermon. Secondly, pray. Jesus said, this is how to pray. If you don't know how to pray, here's the scaffolding of a great prayer. Only one prayer. It's like the framework. It's the Lord's Prayer. If you don't know how to pray, if you pray the Lord's Prayer every day during the season of Lent, nothing else but the Lord's Prayer, your life will radically change. It will radically, radically change. If not, come and see me and I'll give you your money back. Well, assuming you've given some money in the first place. It will radically change. Our prayer life is, it's like so much in the church generally, our prayer life is like Sunday school prayers. Dear Jesus, thank you for everything. Amen. That's great when you're three. We need to buckle up and start praying. Great opportunity. Sign up for the prayer day. I'm working. Okay, we'll send you something online. When you get your 10-minute break to have a cup of tea or coffee, pray. Come in the evening. Let's see 300-plus people here in the evening crying out to God in our own way to see him break through. And the third thing is fast. And to fast, actually, it means to deal with our appetites. What appetites do you have, do I have, that need to be, we need to bring back to God? Maybe it's food. Maybe it's what we eat or drink. Maybe it's what we watch. First thing in the morning, I wake up, turn this thing on. Maybe you need to fast from it during Lent. It means to discipline yourself. Fasting is a discipline. You come out of something to focus on something else. Maybe we need to focus more on what Jesus is saying to us. Here's another one. Maybe the thing we can't do without are our friends, our community. Do our communities get in the way of you personally encountering God? Jesus is calling us now to address, as he did 2,000 years ago, these great things: money, prayer, and our appetites. Now, the issue about prayer, I'll finish with this, I'll move on, then we'll get the band out. The issue with prayer is this. I know for so many over the years who've said to me, there's two extremes. One extreme is, it's like I'm shouting into a void, hoping for the best, there's somebody there. God, are you there? Are you there? And then at the other extreme, there's this deep personal love affair. Every time you start to pray, something happens, there's this emotion in you, and it's personal, it's loving, and you can feel it. I think for most of us, we're somewhere in the middle. And actually, it's said that prayer is a mystery. Why? I think for most of us, it's more than a mystery, it's a puzzle. It's a puzzle. But actually, if we have a framework for our prayer life, and we say the Lord's Prayer, if nothing else, a good way to start praying, listen to the podcast. Get the Bible into your life every morning, Monday to Friday, and get a prayer into your life, Monday to Friday. In other words, discipline. Stop doing what you are doing to do something else that God's calling you to do. I think that's it. I think if we do this, because when Jesus started to speak, the Holy Spirit started to come. And if we start to do this, why can't we? I mean, at the moment, I've got the right color pen here, but, we've had fantastic, the sun has been shining on the nation, hasn't it? Yeah? Sorry, you can't get that in. I'll do it over here. I'll do it over Ireland. There we are. Got two suns shining over us there, haven't we? The sun's been shining on our nation, and the weather's been great. But actually, do you know what we need? We need to find the Holy Spirit coming upon our nation. We need to see those tongues of fire again. That's what we need to see all over the place. We need to see the tongues of fire over Sheffield. And the way we do that, we just need some people who are willing to do what Jesus said. When you give, when you pray, and when you challenge your appetites, then I will come. Okay, what I'm going to do now, just a moment, have a little think. I'll leave that there on the screen. While the band come out, please. Let's just have a little pause. I'm going to ask you to come to the front in a minute. Because I'm going to stand here before the cross, well, before the tank and the cross. Next week, the cross will be there, the big wooden cross. The banners will be up over the windows. We begin Ash Wednesday, the Lent service. And I firmly believe it's time for us as a church to sort out what the heck we're going to do in the years to come. I was talking with the staff in the week at a huddle, at a team briefing, looking at all the statistics over the past 5 years. And in our nation, if that's a graph, the church, all churches have gone like that. We're now about 3% maximum church attendance. This church has gone like that. It has gone down over 5 years. But nowhere near what's happening in our nation. And so I firmly believe God is calling this church, giving us a challenge, which is this. Are we willing to step up to the plate? Are we willing to give financially for a new beginning, workers on the streets for our children and our grandchildren? This has to stop. It must stop. I'm talking to everybody I know, including the Message Trust and all kinds of people. How are we going to do it? We're looking to set up a South Yorkshire youth church, like a soul survivor. How do we get people into these deprived areas? It's going to take a monumental task and loads of finance to do this. Are we willing to be part of that? If we don't do something, 2 years from now, I don't know. There's new beginnings coming through with new churches, but actually, I think the church needs to be strong for the sake of our children and grandchildren. Who will answer this call? That's the word to us today. Who will answer this call?